Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Story time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My family and friends were up in the Sierras outside of Yosemite when two dogmen approached us around midnight. There were 5 tents with people inside. My son was with me. I yelled out for everyone to start praying. The moment these two DPG men started their banshee blather at top volume, they never got closer than 50 feet and usually only stuck around 3 nights in a row for about half an hour. No problems otherwise. Also, we talked about it over coffee the next morning. None of us ever felt any fear and stayed calm and relaxed. And we all knew exactly what these things did in 2015. He gives you the confidence you need, and it's no sweat at all with these creatures. You have power over them, with the blood of the Lamb. My co-workers Zach, Alex, and Zach's wife went to the area where I had my dogman sighting nearly 2 years ago. The plan was to fly a drone with a thermal camera over the area to see if drone picked up any heat signatures. I was unable to fly the drone due to a geofencing issue that I have since figured out. While I was trying to troubleshoot the drone issues, we all heard loud footsteps in the tree line that borders the wooden fence of the entrance. The footsteps sounded close, but when Zach and Alex went to investigate with flashlights, the noise stopped, and they couldn't find whatever made the noise. We all heard a dog bark one time, but it sounded faint, perhaps just a random dog. Shortly after, Alex heard what sounded like a dog heavily panting directly behind him. Alex said the noise made the hair on his arms stand up, and he turned around quickly but didn't see anything. Minutes later, we all decided to enter the park and walk to the center of the grass field just inside, which is surrounded by trees. As we crossed the entrance, we all distinctly heard what sounded like a dog make a loud whimpering sound. The noise sounded like it was right next to us, but when we shined our lights toward the sound we heard, we didn't see anything. We continued walking to the center of the field. I felt a strong sense that there was something watching us. Alex said he had a passing moment where his hair again stood up. Zach's wife said she felt there was something negative in the area and Zach didn't notice anything. As I looked around field with my headlamp, Zach and Alex asked me a few times to point the light at a historical house on the edge of the field. Later they said they saw a white mass that looked as if it was painted on the side of the building, but it would disappear when I shined my light in that direction. That was the extent of our experiences, and all this took place within the 45 minutes we were there. Everyone had an experience, and they agreed that we should continue investigating. We plan on doing a full-fledged investigation in late summer or early fall. Overall, what stuck out to me was when Alex heard the dog panting, and when we all heard the dog whimpering. All the sounds heard were dog-related and seemed to be non-threatening. I can't say for sure what the source of the noise was, but I know crawlers can mimic a human voice, so mimicking a dog wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. Once when I was backpacking and visiting Auschwitz, I poorly planned my train and got to the camp right before they closed for the day, so I was unable to do the tour. Me being poor and not wanting to spend dollars, and also there not being any accommodation in town, I decided I'd just walk around behind the camp and sleep in some tall grass by the river. I was fairly inconspicuous in where I was sleeping, so I felt good about the spot. Sorta one of those, well, I'm going to sleep now, hopefully nothing bad happens to me, things you do when you're 19. Flash forward to 3 a.m. and I wake up to the incredibly loud sound of what I can only describe as a very loud rock or weight being thrown into the very middle of the river. I got up and scanned around, but it was pitch black, and I didn't hear any footsteps or other human noises. The next day when I did the tour, I learned that the river was a dumping ground for the ashes from the crematorium. I am not a huge believer in ghosts or anything paranormal like that, but I don't really have any other explanation for it. So this story is from a few years ago, but my mother and I remember every single detail of what happened. However, I would like some advice. I'm almost 100% sure I saw a skinwalker, but the location doesn't add up. When I was in 7th or 8th grade, my mom and I were driving home from a therapy session of mine note, nothing for being schizoid, just depression and such. It was winter and a full moon because I remember the snow glowing under the moonlight. It was only 6 p.m., but really dark out because, you know, it's in the middle of winter. So, we were going about 55 miles per hour when this thing crossed and stopped in front of us. The only way I can describe it is that it was if you combined a deer, a dog, and a human. It stood about as tall as our windshield. It had the legs of what I can describe as a deer. Its back was hunched over and walking on all fours. It had the head of a dog note. It didn't have ears or a dog nose, but its eyes were white, and it didn't have a tail. The freakish thing about this creature was its skin. It wasn't a canine with mange or anything. It had actual human skin all the way down its legs, too long to be dog legs. It smelled of rotting meat, and some parts of the flesh were broken open, like if you would scrape your knee. It was pale white, and you could see its veins. And this thing was fast. Like, it stood there and just ran across the road in the blink of an eye. My mom and I had to pull over to calm down. We both saw it. This sighting was in southeastern Ohio, between Gallipolis and Athens. Thanks to someone on Reddit, I now believe what I saw was a crawler. I haven't seen the creature since, but it still haunts me to this day, and on that highway, I'm scared to see it again. Can anyone tell me what I saw? Thank you in advance. Note: I'm posting this on different boards to see what others say. Note 2. Thank you, guys, for the responses. So far, we have a few ideas of what this thing could be. Crawler dogman, which I really don't know about. From descriptions, that's not what I saw, not deer wendigo, although I highly doubt it, to be honest. I have recently become really interested in Reddit threads about real encounters and creepy stories from fellow Redditors, mainly because I have never personally experienced anything of the sort, and I find it fascinating. Anyways, I just happened to stumble onto this subreddit through a comment. The first two pictures I saw on this page sent chills to my core. Typing this 5 minutes after, I still feel these chills. I had a sighting of something, one of the only true unexplained experiences I have had. And when I saw the illustrations posted here, this vivid memory instantly came back to me. My experience happened maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I lived in a small college town right on the border of Minnesota in central Wisconsin. My two friends, Blake and Eric, and I had a couple of drinks at my place, and we decided to go to the park near the middle of town for a walk. I would say the time was around 1-2 a.m. Blake had just seen an episode of The Office where everyone was doing hardcore Parker around the office, and we had previously been joking and laughing about it. So, as we parked in the parking lot, he hopped out and started off on his Parker run. Eric and I ran after him, laughing, and when we finally caught up to him, we slowed down and started walking the path. We neared the northern part of the path where it starts turning right to go back around the park. On the outer side of the path, there was a clearing in the trees on the hill leading down to the river below, covered in a foot or two of brush. We debated heading down to the river, and as we got to the edge of the path, we saw it. The joking immediately halted as we stood frozen for a few seconds, our eyes adjusting to the darkness. About 20 feet down the hill, this thing was hunched over facing away from us. It must have heard us and turned its head to look towards us. From what I remember of the second or two I saw of its face, it had an almost wolf-like appearance, and its eyes were terrifying. It continued to turn towards us while standing upright on its hind legs, and immediate fear overcame me. I knew right away that whatever this thing was, it did not look friendly, and was like nothing I had ever seen before. All three of us absolutely lost it, and ran to Eric's car as fast as we possibly could. I don't think any of us looked back even once until we got into the car. We asked each other what the F that thing was, and not a single one of us had even close to the slightest explanation as to what we saw. I stumbled upon an old scary story book at our library, and there was an old story from western Wisconsin about the Wendigo. And that was the closest explanation as to what I saw that I came across. Searching for a Wendigo on Google, I find very similar characteristics within the top illustrations. I was talking to one of my really good friends a while back in 2006, and we just somehow ended up talking about weird stuff we've seen in our lives. He brings up the story of how one of our friends and her friends had a scary encounter. They were walking through a neighborhood at night and just ended up at a park outside of the Green Valley Forest Preserve in Naperville, Illinois, which is a very big forest. So they're walking towards the park when they see what they thought was a tall person on top of the swing set. So they stop and wonder who would be standing on a swing set at 10 p.m. at night alone. So they get closer, and the creature turns around. It was a hairy creature with bright orange eyes, standing upright at around 8 feet tall. It looked at them for about 5 seconds, then it jumped straight down without making a sound, sprinting away. They got scared and ran back to their car and went home. As soon as one of them got home, she was sitting in her house when banging started on her house. She then called up one of her friends, supposing it was him, telling him to stop. He told her it really wasn't him. He said he was home, and the same thing was happening with him. They never saw the creature again. There have been a few more sightings by people who say they'll wake up early in the morning around 6 a.m., and will see the creature watching them when they're outside. Everyone who describes it as a werewolf. So here's my story. I and a couple of my friends went to the same forest preserve at night, just to hang out and have a couple of beers. We've heard about the story a couple times, but thought they were just pulling our chain. But we were there for like about an hour, and we finished our beers and decided to leave. Well, my friend went to relieve himself near the edge of the woods, and we said we'd wait for him. So he finishes up, walks back to us, and we're just walking back to my car in normal conversation. And he's not talking. We just asked him, "Why are you so quiet?" He just told us to hurry up and move fast to the car. I said, "What's going on?" So we get to our car, and he seems to be fine, and all is forgotten. I saw him every day after that, and everything was normal. Then a while later, we're sitting in a restaurant eating, and I brought up the park and told him we should all go do that again. And then he flat out told me when he was doing his business on the edge of the woods, he saw two glowing orange eyes looking at him from about 20 feet away and getting closer. He didn't see the creature, due to the fact it was almost pitch black, but he saw the eyes getting closer, and he got scared. He told me he didn't tell us that night, because he didn't want to scare us, and he thought we wouldn't believe him. After these many years, I wonder how many other people saw this creature. Long post, I'm sorry, so I don't know what it is specifically. It could be a flesh pedestrian, doubtful since I don't live in any places common for them. Or a flesher boy, like I said, I don't know. What I do know is that I go to the car my fiancé and I share to, admittedly, smoke weed. Now, normally I would chalk it up to hearing stuff due to that, but there have been multiple instances of things bumping into the car hard enough to shake it and create a loud thump. Additionally, one of my dogs reacts right after in a few instances. In addition to these, I frequently hear animals that shouldn't be near me, such as mine and my fiancé's cat, which is an inside animal, and we don't let it out because there are dogs in our neighborhood. I'll get to how I debunked it being one of these animals in a moment. The thing that has been causing fear from said noises is because they sound distorted like a recording, and sometimes like it's a person. I frequently also hear what definitely sounds like human footsteps, even though no one is around the car, followed in less than a second by an animal, possibly a heavyish dog. And yet again, there is nothing around me. Now, the reason I know it's not a neighbor's dog is because the two houses with dogs are my next door neighbors, and their dog is a smaller dog. The barks in question are always from a large dog like a pit bull or a shepherd. Speaking of the latter, the second house with dogs has two full-grown, beautiful German shepherds, which, when they react to the odd sounds, I can hear both barks within a second of each other. Now, finally, the biggest evidence. I was sitting in the car listening to music, with no lights on, short of the full moon at the highest it can reach. I noticed movement in the passenger side mirror. I watched the mirror for, I'm guessing, about a minute, then yawned, closing my eyes for a few seconds before looking back. I saw an emaciated-looking humanoid figure. It was pale and pallid. When I say emaciated, I mean emaciated. I could see every one of its ribs and bones in its arms, and what I could see of its legs, Its eyes were sunken and appeared solid black. Its mouth appeared relatively normal, albeit almost jagged in the corners. Compared to the size and shape of the head, it was closed, so I couldn't make a proper observation. I know Flesherboys seem to usually cause panic. However, I also don't seem to have a properly working fight or flight instinct, so do with that as you will. Please, I need help with identifying, especially since I subscribe to the, if it bleeds, you can kill it mentality, so please help. It was in the late 1970s, in Northampton County, Pennsylvania, not far from the Lehigh River. It was early summer, around noon. Bright sunny day. The area where the sighting occurred is now developed, but used to be brushland and sparse forest. Growing up, my family grew a large vegetable garden to help feed our family. It was at the end of a large backyard about 10 feet from the brush line. Groundhogs raided it for food, so it had a small fence around it which didn't stop them, honestly. One day, when I was a kid, my mom sent me out to the garden alone to fetch vegetables for lunch. I started picking when I noticed a face staring at me from the brush about chest high to an 8-year-old. The face was dark reddish-brown, covered in hair, a large forehead, a short, flat, and wide nose with black eyes. It was as large as my torso and human-like, but more animal than human. Not sure what I was seeing, I walked up to it, stayed inside the fence, and stared at it. It stared back without moving. After a while with a face staying motionless, I remembered what my mom wanted me to do and got back to picking vegetables. But I noticed the face was still watching me as I was in the garden. When I finished picking vegetables, I walked back to the face and stared at it. The face stared back unmoving. At this point, I had convinced myself that the face must be an illusion of some sort, and I was fooling myself. What else could it be? So I smiled in relief. And the face smiled back. Only when it smiled, it had long pointed canine teeth. I did what any kid would do. I dropped my basket of vegetables and ran screaming at the top of my lungs back inside the house. My mom and brother went outside to the garden. Dad was running errands, and the face was gone. It was a long time before I would go to the garden alone again. I've never seen Bigfoot again, and I live in a major city now. But I want to go back to the forest to find it again someday. Back in October of 2023, I would drive down the same road called Dragoon Trail in Mishawaka, Indiana. I did this for about a month at the time as my friend lived down the road, and he was having car troubles back then. Later in the month, he would come to work at the same job as me, so I would have to drive the complete length of the road at night once we clocked out. One of those nights after dropping him off, I was going down a hilly wooded section of Dragoon Trail, when I noticed something in the road for a split second. At first, I thought it was a street sign reflecting my lights because of how bright it was. But this thing was moving, and in the dead middle of the road. The object was about 4 feet tall and vaguely humanoid shaped, but mostly a yellow blob of spheres. The first second I saw it, the thing was crouched or compressed. The next second it looked erect or more elongated. Then it just vanished in the middle of my headlights. I've been a paranormal enthusiast my whole life, but still consider myself quite skeptical. Would love to hear what you think, and if you've heard of anything like this. It was about 8 p.m., and I was driving home after dropping a friend off at her house. I came to an intersection, a red light, and stopped. Nothing out of the normal, just a regular night. The roads were fairly deserted. While waiting for the light to change, I saw something that looked like the back end of a deer as it quickly crossed the street. I didn't think much of it, except for the fact that when I drive through there, I have to be careful because deer apparently like to jump in front of cars. That stretch of road is only a couple hundred feet posted at 40 miles per hour. I slowed to about 30-35 miles per hour to watch and look at the deer. When I looked to see if the deer was still there, I witnessed something quite a bit different. This massive thing was standing back a ways, but it was clearly visible. The yard it was standing in has a huge white shed with a light attached to the front though. This didn't help because it cast a big shadow. The figure stood on the ground, but its height reached to about the top of the doors to the shed. It had two curved like masses coming from the sides, but the most obvious feature were the deep red, glowing eyes coming from the center of the black mass. It was something I couldn't stop looking at. I continued to drive, but all the way home I felt I was being followed. What follows is a true story which happened in southern UK. It's a bit of a read, but I think you'll be glad you did when you get to the end. Sometimes, experiences can only be described as falling outside the realms of normality, and it's like you're being given a glimpse into another world. We had some time to kill between running errands one evening, so headed up to a high spot overlooking the forest while we waited. It was a couple of hours after sunset, and we hoped to see some wildlife that would normally get scared off during daylight. There were roadblocks on some of the lanes because of tree felling, so, apart from us, the car park was completely deserted, and this viewpoint was just ours for tonight. It's next to an old holloway, a prehistoric trackway, and the area is littered with ancient burial mounds and the remains of occupation from the Iron Age, Roman and Saxon times. This place is old. We stopped the van and stepped out, taking in the view ahead of us. Grassy downland sloped gently towards the forest edge at the bottom of the hill, where weak moonlight bounced off a layer of low-lying mist. Ahead, the whole woods was laid out for us to see, a large expanse of dark forest with jagged treetops visible against the slightly lighter skyline. My husband, A, had brought a high-powered torch to shine into the edges of the woods to see if any eyes lit up from the wildlife. It's always amazing to shine a light into darkness and see the eyes of rabbits, deer, or hares shining back at you. Tonight though, there was nothing, which is incredibly unusual. We could only hear distant tawny owls calling every now and again, and see the occasional silent, dark shape glide in front of us. The place felt a little uneasy, watchful. Nearby on my left, there was an occasional creak of something rubbing, like a hanging sign being swayed by the wind. We know that patch inside out, and there's nothing there to make that noise. Besides, there wasn't even a breeze. I half joked about it being a ghostly gibbet, and actually, that's exactly what it did sound like. There are often strange things at the woods. You sort of learn not to question it too much, and just accept things for what they are. I didn't really feel spooked, just a bit aware of it, particularly as the sound was centered at an ancient crossroads. Sitting in the van, we listened for sounds of wildlife. Even the owls had quietened and everything became still. We sat in the silence until, suddenly, a wind whipped up from behind us from out of nowhere through the trees. As soon as it had started, it was gone. It felt odd, like something passing through. Then, back to quiet. With our eyes tuned into the dark, we sat looking over the woodland. There was a strange noise to the right, like an animal calling, but nothing recognizable. The sound was followed by snapping branches. We know most woodland animal calls, but have no idea what this was. So, we just kept cool about that too. "Yes," we said. "Probably just some kind of owl." I shone his torch in the direction of the sounds, only for it to go dead straight away. It had had brand new batteries that evening, and had been working perfectly when we first arrived. It's never failed before or since for that matter. So, the odd feeling stayed. There were a couple of dim lights on the horizon in the distance, and over to the right was a tiny section of faraway road with occasional glimpses of tiny headlights, or the red of tail lights briefly showing. The main view ahead was literally just darkness. As we stared into the blackness, a small light came into view near the treetops. It looked reminiscent of a glow worm, or an ember from a fire that persists into the night sky, only brighter. It moved in one direction, kind of higgledy-piggledy, and made its way slowly, but with purpose. It started from nowhere in the woods, just appeared on the left within our field of view, and slowly moved to the right. Strangely, it appeared to be broadly following the route of an old trackway, which only exists today in disjointed fragments of paths, and telltale lines of trees marching through modern-day fields. The light followed the route smoothly for a while, and then stopped. When it stopped, it seemed to glow brighter. It was unusual because it was constant and unobscured, not broken like it would be if it was carried by a walker, but high up like it was floating just above the treetops. The way it stayed constant made it seem certain. It was a lot higher than the paths in the woods, or it would have been obscured by the trees. This was bright and close. It was within the area of the woodland, but not on the ground. It was staying in one spot now. As I stared at it, I began to realize that it looked as if it was moving in a different way, swaying. I doubted myself at first because there were so few points of reference against the blank black darkness of the trees. Were my eyes playing tricks? I looked at it a little closer. Minutes passed. No doubt about it, it was swaying. I saw a reach for his glasses, and knew he was watching it too. We looked at each other. That's a bit weird. The movements looked strange, and I began to wonder more about the source of it, running through possibilities in my mind. I dismissed it being attached to a building, and besides, in that direction, there are only farms much further away, and on much lower ground. This was high, pretty much at the same level as us, parked up on the hill. Could it be a person carrying a torch? No, it simply wasn't moving in the right way, and besides, it was unwaveringly pointing towards us. It didn't change angle, or dim. It just didn't fit. We both agreed it was swaying. A big slow sway, in a large arc of several meters at least. As we stared at it, it continued swaying from left to right, right to left to right, like a pendulum. Rhythmic. It made no sense. Although the light looked very powerful, it wasn't illuminating anything at all. It itself was highly visible and impossible to miss, but it wasn't illuminating any branches surrounding it, a trunk below it, or any other trees around it. There was nothing showing but the light itself. It was a light that drew you in because it couldn't be explained away. Mesmerizing. We both know these woods really well, at all times of the day and night, on the paths and further off track. We know the terrain and the tall trees, Douglas firs, Scots pine, beech and oaks. Even during the winter, the path can't be seen from where we were, but the treetops can. This light was definitely at tree canopy height, yet not suspended from the trees. As time went on, nothing changed. We watched it for nearly half an hour. The light just continued to sway and shine unabated, until, eventually, time dictated that we needed to get back on our way. I switched on the engine and the headlights ready to move, and, almost instantly, the light was extinguished. There was no dimming, no hesitation, it was simply on, and then it was off. Bizarre. It was as if the connection had been severed, and the moment was over. We drove down the lane to the far end, following the edge of the woodland for nearly a mile, then turned round and drove back past where we'd been parked, and on towards our destination. As we passed the trees, especially at the area of the car park, we looked for the light, but there was simply nothing at all. It's taken a couple of months to process and make sense of it. But the only explanation we can come to is that the light over the woods really was a will-o'-the-wisp. I'd like to share an experience my friend and I have unfortunately been dragged into. At approximately 10:30 p.m. tonight, I received an instant message from my friend about a rather disturbing encounter she had. She had reported she saw the Mothman. I sent her several messages back, asking if she was alright, if she was there, etc. She eventually sent me a text message with a picture that she drew of the creature attached. By this point, I was literally getting sick and trembling due to anxiety and fright. We began talking about it, and I noticed a tapping at my window. A very light kind of sound. My dogs both jerked their heads upward and stared at the window for a long time. Being in the state I was in, I refused to look. For a while, the tapping stopped. She and I continued to discuss the matter at hand. Suddenly, the tapping began again, but this time the dogs ignored it and so did I. About 4 or 5 minutes later, I fought the urge to stare at my computer monitor and looked at my window. My blinds were closed, but I could faintly see something red and glowing, like taillights that had somehow made their way into the neighbor's backyard. I quickly looked away, not wanting to see it anymore. I looked again a couple minutes later, unnerved to see the red glow was still there. Again, I looked away and continued discussing this with my friend. Finally, I turned my head one final time and saw that the glow no longer remained. As I'm typing this email, I'm really worried, as the tapping has begun again, and I'm really too afraid to move from this position. Above this, I've included my friend's side of the story, and, should you post this, we would certainly appreciate if you could put them both into one piece. We discussed calling the police, but she didn't want to make a big deal about it. Her parents brushed it off, and I have yet to tell anyone in my house about this. I'm not sure what this was, a frightening delusion or a real situation, but I'm not sure if I'm willing to face the facts and find out. Thanks for your time. Well, both my friend and I live closer to Middletown, Ohio. There was another encounter I had shortly after I had sent the email, and I kept forgetting that I hadn't sent it. I had walked out of my room to wash my face, try and calm myself down, etc. And my brother's room is directly across the hall from mine. I looked straight ahead, and it was looking right through the window of his room. That's the picture I had seen.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
I stared at it for a while, feeling kind of cold, and then feeling really scared, and I finally pulled my eyes away and went about my business. When I came out of my bathroom, I didn't look in the direction of his room. My friend reported that what she saw had more oblique-shaped eyes and looked kind of angry. I wasn't too sure about that hypothesis, while mine had large, round eyes and seemed kind of curious or something. Sorry I didn't include that in the original message. Like I said, this happened after I sent the email, and I keep assuming I had included it when I hadn't. Other than the weird sightings, there wasn't any strange activity I can recall. My name is Megan. I am forwarding a summary of an experience that I and a friend had in August 2010. My friend and associate Kyra and I traveled from Columbus, Ohio to Ravenswood, West Virginia on business. While we were there, I wanted to make a side trip to Gallipolis, Ohio in order to visit relatives I had not seen for quite a while. After our meeting and presentation, we drove on to Ohio Route 7 and traveled south along the Ohio River towards Gallipolis. We had a nice, though brief, visit with my relatives. Around 6 p.m., we left their home and drove a few miles north on RT-7 to check into a hotel near the local airport. Around 7:30 p.m., we decided to get dinner and found a quiet restaurant so we could eat and work. After we finished, Kyra needed to go to the store and pick up a few items that she forgot to pack. We headed to a Walmart that was nearby the restaurant. After we finished shopping, we were walking to the car when I noticed a woman running through the parking lot. When she reached her car, she looked back in the direction of the store, then hurriedly got into the car. I quickly looked in the same direction and saw what looked like a large bird flying above the roof of the store. It was difficult to see, but when it swooped downward, the parking lot lights would shine off of it. It looked like it was either oily or had shiny leather-like skin. Whatever it was, it had a wide wingspan. I would guess it reached 8-10 foot across. It circled above the store for about a minute, then just disappeared. We were both somewhat shocked at what we witnessed, but figured that it was just a huge bird. Since it was dark, I figured we had misjudged what it really was. We drove back to the hotel and decided to call it a night, so we could get an early start on the drive home in the morning. I got ready for bed, but thought I'd watch some television first. By this time it was around 10 p.m. or so. I must have dozed off fairly quickly because the next thing I remember is frantic knocking on my door. I stumbled out of bed and checked who it was. It was Kyra, and she was obviously upset. She rushed into my room and said, "It's here." "What are you talking about?" A little bit perturbed that she woke me up. She said that she was laying on the bed reading when she heard something in the hallway. She got out of bed, walked to the door and listened to what she thought was scratching sounds. After a few minutes the sound stopped, so she went back to bed. Not long after she lay down she heard more scratching sounds, but from outside her window. Again she got up and peeked through the curtains. This time, something looked back at her. Our rooms were on the second floor in the back section of the hotel, and both looked out onto a small parking lot and a large field beyond that. She could see what she described as a bald, ugly man with wings who was looking directly at her with large, bulging eyes that lit up bright red. It was there for only a few seconds. It then spread its wings while running at the same time towards the end of the parking lot and lifted off the ground like a bird. "You're kidding, right?" I muttered to her. "Meg, I swear to God that thing is out there, and it knows we saw it." I knew the only way I was going to get some sleep was to allow Kyra to stay in my room. The next morning we woke early, checked out and drove back to Columbus. Kyra didn't mention the incident from the previous night during the ride. In fact, she has still never said anything else about it. We continue to be good friends and have a very good working relationship. But I got curious. I had never heard about the Mothman or any of the tales associated with it. I grew up in Texas and had only lived in Ohio for a few years. I moved into my mom's house after she had passed away. Her relatives lived throughout Ohio, but I had never been told any of the stories. This is the reason I am writing to you. We were near Point Pleasant, WV when we had this encounter. Do you think that it is possible that this was a Mothman? I read some of your posts recently, and I'm starting to believe that Kyra actually saw something supernatural. In light of the prophecies of danger that this thing is supposed to warn people about, Kyra has had some bad luck and tragedy since that day. Her husband suddenly left her, she had a fire in her house, and she severely injured her leg in a fall. Could this be connected? I personally don't believe in predictions, either good or bad. But I will admit that these have been strange times since we witnessed whatever. Good morning. As I sit reading this article, it amazes me that no one caught one of these things yet. I understand that if something with a 25-30 feet wingspan flies past you, you're not going to grab your camera as a first instinct. My son and I saw this monster thing last summer in Mertztown, PA. We were parked on the side of the road in a heavily wooded area, when this thing casually glided up the road. It looked big enough to carry a full-grown man away with no effort. When the wing flew over the hood of my car, we instantly ducked down. This thing had a round human-sized head with no beak, hence the term man-bird, and huge bat-like wings. Now, I would never tell this story if it wasn't for my 16-year-old son sitting in the back seat, who also witnessed it on that summer day. I'm a pretty capable guy, not too many things can shake me, but this thing scared the hell out of me. Here is what I saw. The body was 5-6 feet in length easy, wingspan was 25-30 feet easy, no feathers, bat-like skin, jet black, and a 4-5 feet skinny rat or dragon-like tail that stuck straight out. This thing didn't fly like a bird, it glided about 10 feet off the ground at a very slow speed. After 50-75 feet of gliding, it took one huge flap of the wings, never changing elevation, and glided up the road till it disappeared into the woods. I'm convinced this thing lives underground, probably near some sort of hot spring because it has no feathers. On Monday, May 9th, 2011, around 5:45 a.m., I was on my way to work headed northbound into the village of New Miami on 7 Mile Avenue. I left the traffic light at the southernmost edge of town into a dark stretch of road, when a large flying creature swooped in over my car, and snatched up a small animal in the road ahead of me at the edge of my headlights. As a construction worker, I feel I can judge the size of objects fairly well. This creature had a wingspan of at least 12 feet, and was jet black with a human figure. It completely blocked the view out of my windshield, and then some, and moved at a very high rate of speed. I was traveling between 35-40 miles per hour. It had to have been traveling at around 70-80 miles per hour. Like I stated before, I swooped down, grabbed the animal, and was gone over the trees very quickly. I've researched large predator birds and raptors indigenous to Ohio, and there are none that fit the description of what I saw. If you have any other questions about my experience, please feel free to email me back. The story I'm about to tell you was a truly terrifying experience that has since scarred me. When I was 14 years old, 23 now, I was having a very typical day. I just got home from a long day at school, and was relieved to be able to relax and play some video games. I had set my backpack in the dining room, and walked through the kitchen to the computer room. At this time I was home alone with both parents working and siblings out with friends. I sit down and begin to log in when I feel a sudden chill in the air. It made my hair stand on end, so I looked around suspiciously but found nothing. After a few minutes of surfing the web, I get on Facebook when suddenly the computer chair I'm in is forcefully pulled back, and then tilted back while I'm still in it. At the angle I was at, I should have toppled over, but something was holding me there in place. From the force, my head whips back, and I'm looking up when I see a shadow looking down at me. At that very second I screamed, and then the chair fell forward. With my heart racing so fast, I thought it would burst. I look back to a doorway and see something I will never forget. A tall man standing at about 6'4", maybe 6'6", staring at me. He was wearing an all-white suit with a white top hat, and white umbrella. He was leaning on the umbrella like a cane in a suave kind of pose. The worst part was that no matter how hard I looked, I couldn't see his face. The only feature I could see was his long blonde greasy hair, and this inhuman stretched smile. It reminded me of the grin of the monster on the Disturbed album covers. After what seems like hours, he turns, unfurls the umbrella, giving me one final look, and walks upstairs. Immediately I called my dad and told him what happened. I know it was paranormal and not a robber because of the sinister feeling I had, which I had felt before. My dad told me to pray and said he would head straight home to check on me. After the day had passed and night arrived, I was still startled. I don't remember when I fell asleep, but but I finally drifted off. Around 3 a.m. I woke to a sudden freezing chill. My room was small and my door overlooked the stairs, which I always left open. Standing at the top of the stairs was the same sinister being, staring and smiling. He stood there for a while and just watched me as if harnessing my fear. I was paralyzed by fear, so I couldn't do anything. Eventually, he turned and walked down the stairs with his umbrella. I can still picture him walking and seeing the umbrella through the stair banister bobbing up and down as he went down. He visited me 3 more times before we had a priest bless the house. After that, I never saw him again. Still brings tears to my eyes when I think too deeply about it. I consider myself a very spiritual person because of other paranormal experiences I've had. Nothing as truly frightening as that. I've named him the Umbrella Man. I would do almost anything to never see him again. People tell similar stories of a Hat Man that sounds a lot like this thing. I don't want anyone to ever have this experience. I know he has visited other people. I grew up in Jefferson. One time I was walking with a friend on the RR tracks behind the cemetery. There's a deep ravine on both sides. I noticed the tops of some trees shaking violently on the deep side, and just thought it was a dog or something. Then it kept happening as whatever it was continued to shake the trees following us. It occurred to me that there was no way a dog could shake these big trees, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck. It was thick with vegetation, and no one could traverse that area with any ease. Lots of swampy spots, too. I took off running to the next road and walked the streets home. I still don't know what it was. North Central Ohio. Friend and a car full of their friends were parked in the lot of this trailhead into some woods you could access that had a boardwalk. It was real late, and they were smoking a doob. But that couldn't account for the bright light they suddenly noticed over the car. At first they thought it might be a farmer on their combine in the field behind them, as they were basically surrounded by cornfields. But it was freaking them out that they couldn't figure out the source, and weren't sure if it were the cops. They backed out of the lot and headed down the road, and the light followed right over them as they went down the road. They said it was super bright, but did not hurt their eyes to look at. As it turns out, a number of people saw it that night and reported it, and allegedly it made a blurb on Unsolved Mysteries at one point. Makes you wonder what the Amish see and what they think of it. My boyfriend had one sighting. Walking from Ashtabula to Kingsville. Walked up Route 531. It was late at night. He was maybe 10 or 11 at the time. Not a good childhood. He was walking to a friend's house, did not end up getting there until 3 a.m. Lake Erie was on the left side, woods on the right. As he passed Russell Drive, he heard something walking in the wood. It kept pace with him the whole way. If he stopped, it would stop a couple steps later. When he started, it would also start walking again. There would be spots where there were woods on both sides. Sometimes the steps would get so loud, it would sound so close he would walk on the other side of the road. After a while, he would hear it come up behind him, and then keep pace on the same side he crossed over to. There is no lights out there. Very dark on that road. When the woods were broken up by a few houses, or the occasional field, the sound of footsteps would go away. When the woods started again, he would hear it again. At first, he thought it was a deer. But it did not sound like it had 4 legs. Was it a person? Something else? He had no idea. He never saw it. Rented the cabin at Hogback Ridge Park for my sister's bachelorette party. I love Hogback and have hiked with friends and solo there many times, so I'm extremely happy and comfortable there. Once night fell, something changed, It felt like suddenly being stalked from all directions. I camp all year and am not afraid of the dark. In fact, I quite enjoy it. But this set off all my instinctual alarm bells. I felt vulnerable by the fire. When I took the trash out, I felt like I had to keep my eyes to the ground. Like if I looked at whatever it was game over. I barely slept because I felt like I had to watch over everyone. Found out the next morning all the other ladies had nightmares that night involving the woods. One said she dreamt a Bigfoot creature was beating on the cabin before ripping down a tree outside near the backside of the cabin. When we went out to the spot, she described there was a large tree stump in the ground. Once camping out at Nelson Ledges, I had something I couldn't see rush up behind me. I was standing on a secluded campground path, waiting for my boyfriend to finish using the bathroom. I'd walked about 20 feet away on the path, and was just admiring the summer night when I felt what I thought it was my boyfriend run up behind me like he was trying to sneak up on me. I heard footsteps run up behind me on the gravel, and felt that feeling of someone behind me. I whipped around to catch him before he could scare me, but there was no one there. I swear I could still feel someone standing right there too. After a while, my boyfriend came out of the bathroom, and I could feel whatever it was move past me and into the woods to the side of the path. When construction started on a new bridge that cut through parts of Indian Point Park and surrounding land, my parents who live nearby started having all kinds of strange stuff happen at their property. Almost like things living in Indian Point were disturbed and vacated to adjoining land. Weird noises and strange footprints or tracks. My sister swears she saw what she describes as a Wendigo-looking creature by the side of the house coming home from work at night. She would enter the house through the basement door, and would walk around the side of the house each night. But one night as she was going through the motions, she rounded the corner, and came face to face with what she described as a Wendigo. She said it huffed at her, and she ran to the door, while it turned towards the wall of the house almost like it was trying to hide. She went out the next morning and found large hoof-like prints in the mud where it had happened. None of us jumped right into believing her, especially since it didn't line up with any Wendigo lore. But if you Google a Wendigo, that's what she insists she saw. She said it was upright, hulking with long arms, deer legs and antlers, thick dark long fur. Less than a week later, we were all sitting by a bonfire after sunset when we started hearing strange noises in the tree line. Like something huge stalking from one end of the line to the other. Then we heard huffing and deep low growling coming from behind a shed. We yeeted ourselves inside. I was visiting my friends in Eshtabula. One of them has a house in the woods up there. One night, some of my friends and I decided to go film a scary movie in the woods. We wanted to make a Blair Witch-esque film. We were in the woods for about an hour, and I'd say we were over 200 meters from the house. We were screaming at each other and running around, but there is no way anybody from the house could hear anything other than echoes of us in the forest. Exiting the back door of the house, there is an open field to the right and dense forest immediately to the left. When my posse came back to the house, we walked down the field, and the people at home asked how we had gotten over there. I was confused, and they said they had heard people running around and screaming right off to the left of the house. That freaked us the F out because nobody was in that patch of woods, nor were we close to any neighboring property. Freaked us out pretty good. Went target shooting and camping in Salt Fork with friends. That night we were cooking hot dogs by the fire when I heard a noise that was so loud and so strange that it is difficult to describe. It was a combination of a roar, hiss, or yelp. Never have I ever heard anything that even came close. My hair stood on end as if my instincts had kicked in. The noise was so loud that I felt the vibrations in my chest, just like you would at a concert. The three of us were so disturbed that we grabbed our rifles and walked out of those woods backwards at 1:30 a.m. and sat in the car until the sun came up. went back to our campsite, and nothing had been disturbed. We did not know that Salt Fork was known for strange encounters. I found out years later when I saw the show Finding Bigfoot, and they did an entire episode on Salt Fork. I don't know for certain that it was Bigfoot. I did not see anything, but whatever made that noise must have been massive, and I am sure we were making it angry by firing rounds all over the woods that day. Luckily, no one was hurt, but it was an extremely close call. About 2 years ago, my wife and I decided to go tent camping for 3 days at Cane Hollow Campground in Allegheny State Park, New York. There were, of course, signs for bears in that area, and all precautions should be taken while camping. We were very used to this. We had camped in bear country before, and had seen plenty in the wild in places like Michigan, Tennessee, and, of course, New York. We made it through our first 2 days without any trouble, camping near the back of the campgrounds. On the third day, at about 2 p.m. with the sun fully out, we were at our campsite, and there was a couple with a newborn camping two spots down from us. They had just put him to rest in the tent, and the father was getting something out of their bear box and headed towards their truck. Out of nowhere, a massive black bear charged into their campsite and took a large duffel bag out of the bear box and began ripping it apart. The wife and husband saw this. The father ran to grab the child, and the mother ran to the truck and started slamming on the horn. This made the bear grab the duffel bag and run only about 20 feet away and start to eat whatever was inside. I was standing on top of our picnic table watching this bear, completely unafraid of any humans near it. The wife had also got on the phone and called rangers to come to the campsite. Two rangers came, one with a paintball gun and another with a shotgun. They rushed the bear at the same time, the man with the paintball shooting the bear and the man with the shotgun shooting in the air. This is what it took to scare the bear off the first time. After that, the rangers told everyone it would be safe to stay, as the bear should now be afraid of the people there. My wife and I felt safe enough and stayed up until about 1 in the morning, just talking and still a little anxious to go to sleep because of what we saw. As many know, the forest is rarely quiet at night. We heard squirrels and were aware of a family of raccoons watching us, checking to see if we had food by our fire. So the sound of small twigs breaking was common. It was getting late, and we decided to sit out until the fire died. There was one small flame left when I felt something to my right. I turned on the flashlight, and there, standing at most 5 feet away, was the largest black bear I had ever seen. It came in quickly but wasn't running, and as soon as I turned on the light, it stopped, lowered its head, and began to growl or chatter and show its teeth while doing the lip quiver thing bears do when angry. Its head lowered even more and began to sway, staring at me and my wife. After looking into this, I believe it was predation aggression, not at all being defensive. My wife and I immediately stood up from our chairs. I suspect the bear thought we were smaller than we were because after standing, it started to focus more on our tent than us, and I put my wife behind me and pushed her to the car and put her in the passenger seat. She smacked her head pretty hard on the roof of the car and was dazed while I walked around the front of the car and got in the driver's seat. We looked at each other and realized the car keys were on the picnic table right next to the bear. The only thought going through my head was that the only advantage I had on this thing is that I know where it is, so I got out of the car. Luckily, I had a baseball bat and began to walk towards the bear, yelling, "Back the F up," loud enough for the whole campground to hear me. The bear broadside facing me began to quiver its lip and growl again. I saw then on its back right leg a huge chunk of hair missing. Under that, you could see its pale skin with what looked like road rash and still bloody. Also, for whatever reason, the bear was completely soaked, even though it had not rained for several days. God knows what happened to that bear before it came at us. For some reason, the bear turned and walked back into the forest. I, without a doubt, know that the bear was not scared of me, Not one bit. My wife, feeling a need to protect me, came out of the car still stunned by hitting her head. I love her for thinking she could protect me, but definitely scared me that she got out at all. And we watched as it walked back into the forest, which compared to our campsite was just a wall of blackness you couldn't see into. I heard it pace back and forth a few feet away from where I could see it, and then things went silent again. I quickly grabbed the keys, and we drove about 5 miles until we had cell phone reception. I have no idea how my wife earlier made a call from her campsite. We told rangers that we had a bear problem, and they acted like we were overreacting and sent a local cop to check things out. I told the officer what happened and how strange this bear was acting, and that it might be injured. He also acted like we were overreacting and searched our campsite. Without getting anywhere near the area I pointed the bear went off to, said it looked good, nothing that would be drawing in a bear, and said we probably scared it off again, and it won't be back. It seemed to me and my wife that this was not true, and he was just trying to not get us to panic, or anyone that overheard what happened. We packed up our whole campsite in about 10 minutes and planned to drive all the way home. It was about 3 a.m. when we were leaving the campsite, and as we left, we saw the campground filled with police vehicles on literally every turn we made leaving and more still entering. I think it's safe to say that they knew this was a serious problem. And I assume they stayed there the rest of the night since most decided to find areas to park and wait just in front of other people's campsites. To be honest, it felt like the bear wanted the element of surprise to attack me and my wife, and was waiting in the woods, a few feet away, and wanted the lights to go out, and for us to be asleep before it came in again. I'm glad we trusted our gut and got out of there. Also, if you were wondering, the campsite was mostly filled with people, and not one came to help, even though we went to help the other couple earlier to see if they were all right before the rangers came. I wanted to post this to inform people about the danger black bears can pose, and that many camp areas with bears will not tell visitors the full extent of interactions with wildlife. To this day, you couldn't find any information on bear incidents in that area, and I doubt we were the first. Be safe out there. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This happened last year in the middle of winter, in January. There is a trail called Chickie's Rock, which runs along the Susquehanna River right beside the Route 30 bridge that crosses the river. It was a Sunday evening, around 4:30-ish, because it wasn't fully dark yet, but it was starting to get there. We were walking the trail, looking for a spot where we could smoke. My brother was taking a piss about 2 feet off the trail, and I kept walking. Let me say that there was no one else on the trail at all, and no cars in the lot, just ours. I looked down the trail, I'd say about 30 yards from us, and I saw what looked to be an animal that looked very odd. It looked like a mixture of a kangaroo, a greyhound dog, and a deer. It was grayish in color, had really light fur, and the way it walked was strange. I still remember the hoppy steps it would take, and it looked like it would stand on its hind feet. I called out to my brother, and he was able to catch a look at it. The strangest thing was that whatever this was, it was coming our way. Once we looked at it, it darted off the trail into the woods. Mind you, it was winter and no leaves or bushes were present. We couldn't see it anymore, and it was unexplainable how it vanished just like that. It wasn't heavily wooded, so we were able to clearly see between the trees. We tried to justify it, and we never talk about it anymore. But I know he and I both know that was not a dog, a deer, or a kangaroo in central Pennsylvania. Anyone have any ideas? I'm in northern Quebec for a cousin's reunion. For background, we are native. My father has a trailer on some land, not that far into the woods that he is remodeling. And because I live a good 3 hours away, we decided to stay the night my father, myself, and my daughter, with the dogs and husband at home for work. My daughter is having a really hard time sleeping due to a stuffy nose that's keeping me up as well. So about a half hour ago, 2:20 a.m. my time, I went outside for a smoke. I'm sitting on the step at the door and hear a kitten call, like an actual kitten call, nothing weird sounding. But by instinct, I tell it, no, you can't come, and to go find its mom. Not even a minute later, I hear some really weird sounding cat calls. They sounded imitated and threatening. I take my time to finish my smoke to show whatever is out there that I'm not scared, but really I am. Especially that my 12-year-old kid is here. I make sure I tell it again to leave, and that it can't follow me before I come back in. I'm laying down with the window on the top open to let the breeze in, and all of a sudden, this awful stink rushes into my nose. It's like opening a week-old garbage bag that's been left in the sun. There are no weird sounds, just the smell. I've been smelling it for a good 20-25 minutes now. I want to add that we are not on native land, but not far. We are not deep in the woods, but certainly in a town surrounded by trees and freshwater lakes. I've smelled a bear, I've seen bears, my dad is a hunter, he's killed a bear, and I don't remember it smelling like this. So I'm asking you guys what you think. I've seen a Sasquatch before, but in British Columbia, and we're 5 days away from British Columbia, but I have never smelled one. Any thoughts or ideas are very welcomed. P.S. I'm on alert, but I'm not scared. Edit. Walked the land this morning with my dad and daughter. My dad said the noises could have been a fox and the smell a bear. We have black bear out here, but even at the dump, those bears don't smell the way it smelled last night. We also found no traces of animal activity. I took pictures of the landscape that I will post later. Thank you for all your comments as well.